Hello again, and welcome to the broadcast at Hilltop Baptist Church. And again, I'd like to welcome you and tell you, if you don't have a church home, that we'd love to have you. I know that there's probably multitudes of people out there under the sound of my voice that, you know, haven't been to church in years, maybe haven't never been to church. And I can promise you, if you come and you open up your eyes and open up your heart, it's not the people in the church and it's not the church building. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Ghost of God that wants to get a hold of you and wants to make sure that you don't go to that awful place called hell. As you could probably tell by my opening statements there, you know, I didn't get finished up last week on this, and we're going to continue on. And, you know, but, you know, just in case you didn't listen last week, I would just like to tell you that there's a horrible, awful place called hell that was made for the devil and the angels. And unfortunately, people that don't turn and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ they won't visit that place. It won't be a place that they'll go to for a short time. It'll be a place that they go to for eternity. And I just want to tell you from the bottom of my heart that I don't want you to go there, and I know the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't want you to go there. And always remember this, like I said last week, is if you go, that's where you chose to go. You can choose heaven or you can choose hell. The Lord Jesus Christ paid for your sin at Calvary. He paid for everybody's sin. And it would have been nice if he had chose to done it the way that I'm fixing to say, but he didn't. That when he did it, you know, he just did it, and we didn't have to do anything. We didn't have to turn to him. We didn't have to put our trust in him. But that's the way he designed it. He designed salvation for us to see ourselves shipwrecked, to see ourselves lost and sinking into hell and without the Lord Jesus Christ. But always remember this, you know, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is very, very important. Very important. But always remember, it didn't stop there, okay? It you know, we like to think that that's complete, and there is passages in the Bible that if you didn't understand the full realm of the Bible, you might stop there. But the most important thing that the Lord Jesus Christ ever did on this earth was that he shed his precious blood. Peter called it precious blood. It was sinless blood. It was uncontaminated blood. It wasn't even human blood. It was God's blood. One thing that I found out a short time ago, that babies get their blood from their father, okay? And Joseph was not the father of the Lord Jesus Christ. God was, okay? And Jesus Christ has God's blood, okay? And God's blood is sitting up in heaven right now at the mercy seat for anybody that chooses to have that blood applied to them. The only thing that this Bible requires that a lost person do to obtain this great salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ is to put their faith and trust in the complete work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by grace you are saved, and that you must repent of your sin. If those are the things that you have to do, okay? He's the one that bled and died. He's the one that was crucified. He's the one that was butchered on that cross. He was the one that was your sacrifice for your sin. The only way that anybody can get saved is to be forgiven by God. And the only way that you can be forgiven by God that he did was he shed that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll get to a little bit more of that in a little while. But in Job 26:6, the Bible says, "Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering." Psalms 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Do you realize, you know, I'll try to put this in perspective that you might be able to understand what I'm saying. If you listen to me wrong, you won't understand this. I love America. I'm very thankful that I was born in this country and that I'm a citizen of the United States of America. But I'm going to tell you, my friend, this country that we love so dearly is wicked, okay? Very, very, very wicked. A lot of times when we look at other parts of the country and we want to condemn them for how they live and what they do, you ought to take a really good look at this country right here. And it's sad. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that I can't even explain to my dad that this country was found on the Word of God. The Bible that I'm reading today, the King James Bible, was brought over here to this country, okay? And it was not a book, it was the book, okay? It was the Word of God. And even as I was a child, when I think in the 50s, when I was a young child just first growing up, and I think about how things were, and I know for a fact that there were way more Christians back in that day than what we have today. Way more, okay? And, you know, there was just a theme across this country that we believed in God and that we put it on the money and God we trust. I think people really meant it, okay? And I'm not saying to everybody. I know there's never been a time, a place, a nation, a state, a city where everybody's saved, okay? You know, that'll only happen when we get to heaven. But I can tell you for a fact that this country has slid so far downhill, and they slid for that very reason that I just read right there in Psalms 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. United States of America, this country that I love, forgot God. We forgot him. We took him out of schools. We took him out of everything. And you look back when that happened, and this whole country slid downhill right after that. And you can argue with me about it, and you can say, I was there, okay? I was there. I saw what happened in the 60s. I was a horrible result before I got saved of what happened in the 60s, the way this country went. Okay, hell is for the devil and his angels. I read this last week, Matthew 25:41. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Second Peter tells us, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." That awful place, the fallen angels are already there. Hell, it is said that is beneath, okay? You don't have to wonder where hell is. You're walking right on top of it. Isaiah 14:9 says, "Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming." Amos 9:2 says, "Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them." Numbers 16:31-33, And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, and all they that attained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed up upon them, and they perished from among the generation. There's no doubt, there should not be any doubt in anybody's mind that, first of all, hell is real. It is an awful place of torment. And, you know, I'd love to be teaching and preaching right now about heaven. I'm so thankful that I'm going there, and it is a wonderful place. But I'm going to tell you right now, if there were rattlesnakes, 4 or 5 big old rattlesnakes outside your front door, and I knew within a couple minutes that you were going to walk out onto that front porch, and I knew that you would walk right into them snakes, and most assuredly that they would bite you, what kind of a person would I be to not warn you and to tell you, you know, you better not go out there. You better go out the back door. You better take your gun with you because you got some unwanted visitors on your front porch. I'm warning you, please don't go there, okay? Well, you know, I'd be an awful person if I didn't warn you. You know, the way people are now, that there might be a group of people outside laughing, waiting for you to come outside. But see, I'm not one of them. I'm not one of them that could care less about if you go to heaven or hell or not. I'm one of the people that I care where you go. I really and honestly do. And before I got saved, I could have cared less where anybody went. But now that I'm saved and born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't want anybody to go to hell. And I'm warning you that if you do not get saved, if you do not put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you for sure will go to that awful place. Okay, you know, the Bible tells us, and we've heard it many times, that hell is filled with flames. Mark 9:43-48 says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." And that word quenched means it's never put out. It's fueled and fueled and fueled, and it will never go out. You know, you might think to yourself, you know, why would God create such an awful place? And I'm going to tell you why. Because God hates sin, okay? He hates sin. He hates what the devil did. He hates what Lucifer did in heaven by rebelling and causing, you know, a third of the angels to fall with him. God wasn't pleased with that. He wasn't pleased with Adam and Eve sinning in the garden. He hates sin, but thank God he loves the sinner. He loves the sinner. He loves the sinner so much that for you to bypass this awful place called hell, Jesus Christ went through the most hideous thing that anybody could ever go through. Can you imagine that the Lord Jesus, when you look at you know, the stripes that they put on his back, ripped his back wide open, you know, carried his cross, at least part way to Calvary, was spit on. People spit on the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. They beat him profusely with their fists. They walked up to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't know how many men it was in the Sanhedrin. I don't know how many people buffeted him and popped him in the face. But it said that you couldn't even recognize him as a man. As if his mother couldn't hear his voice, she wouldn't even have known that it was him. And, you know, he did that, and he shed that precious blood so you didn't have to go to this awful place called hell. And if you stop to look at it like this, look at it like this, okay? If you go to that awful place called hell, you spit also in the Lord Jesus' face. You spit in his face and you mock him and you curse him and you didn't have no time for him and the Bible wasn't important to you and all that kind of stuff. And now for eternity, you are going to have to put up with that awful place when the God of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, made that atonement for your sin with his precious blood. Oh yeah, his precious blood. And don't forget, he did have to die, but it wasn't in his death that you got saved. It wasn't even in his resurrection that you got saved. It had to happen. You can't have one without the other. But it was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that made the atonement for your sin. And that sacrifice is the only thing that can keep you from that awful place. Let me read 44 again and go on. Sorry. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, and if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet and be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I think he wants us to get that point, don't you? And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. And it is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If that doesn't paint a picture of you of an awful place, I don't know what will. But I hope for a minute or two here today, I can get your attention enough to let you know that, like I've already said a half a dozen times, you know, God does not want you to go to that awful place. He does not want you to be in there. Deuteronomy 32:22-24 says, "For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Will heap mischief upon them. I will send thine arrows upon them, and they shall be burnt with hunger and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of the beast upon them with the poison of serpents of the dust." And we read this last week, I think, Matthew 13:41-42. "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all those that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And my friend, all I can tell you is this. I was a person that, beyond a shadow of a doubt, had been told about the Lord Jesus Christ many times. Did I really sit down and listen real, real, real clear and all that? Be honest with you, I really don't know. I do know that I never laughed about the Bible. I never made fun of the Bible. I never one time ever would laugh at somebody that was a Christian. I would not make fun of Christians and say, yeah, look at them people over there. No, I knew that God was real. I didn't understand salvation. I didn't understand about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ making the atonement for my sin. No, I didn't understand that stuff. But I did know that God was real. But one thing that I can tell you from the bottom of my heart is on September 15th, 1988, when I got saved, my life changed, and it has never been the same, and it never will be the same. And like I have told people hundreds of times since I've been saved, if anybody should have went to hell, it should have been me. If anybody deserved that awful place, it was me, because I was of the wicked, okay? And what I'm trying to tell you is if I can come out of that, if God can get a hold of me and turn my stony heart into a loving heart, and he can turn my sinfulness and my wickedness into love, he can do it for anybody. And I'm telling you that I don't want to see you heaved into a lake of fire. I don't want to see you go to that awful and wicked place, because if he can change me, he can change anybody. And I like to overemphasize the fact that he did change me. I didn't change myself. There's so many people that think, you know, the theme of most unlost people out there is, well, you know, let me clean my life up a little bit. Let me quit doing some of the things I'm doing, and then I'll go to church. You know, that won't work. Being good never got anybody to heaven. Even being good after you got saved, I mean, God expects us to be good. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he expects us to be good. That should be like getting a drink of water, you know, or eating a meal. It should just come, you know, right to us that we're supposed to be good. But being good before you get saved, you know, means absolutely nothing. You know, I mean, if you're banking on your goodness to get you to heaven, or that, you know, you didn't break the commandments and that you was a law keeper and all that kind of stuff, it just won't work. It will not work. Now, let me get to a couple more of these verses, and then I'm going to switch gears on you. Revelation 20, 14 through 15 says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." In Matthew 10, 28, the Bible says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell." You know, we don't serve no little God. We don't serve a wimp. We don't serve just some buddy that maybe was like Goliath or something like that. We serve an almighty God that hates sin, but loves a sinner, and loved us enough to send the Lord Jesus Christ to die and rise again and shed his precious blood for our sin, that we can go to the wonderful place called heaven that he has prepared for the saved people. Okay? Matthew 23:33, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Jesus Christ is the only way to escape. The only way to escape is the Lord Jesus Christ. That damnation is something that you don't have to do. Okay? Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through" who? "Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 5:12 says, "There, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. My sin and your sin started with Adam, okay? And there's nothing we can do about when we're born into this world. You say, is that little baby a sinner? Yep, that little baby's got contaminated blood in it. If that little baby dies when it's a little baby, will it go to hell? Of course not. God's not going to send a baby that never came to the age of accountability to hell, but the baby still has contaminated blood in it. It also says in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel that we proclaim. Romans 5, 8, but God commandeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Luke 13, 3, I tell you nay, but except ye repent. I can't emphasize this enough, okay? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Revelations 1:18 says, I am the life that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. I would like to close by telling you this. You know, people are aimlessly walking around on this planet. It doesn't matter what country they're from, doesn't matter what state they're from, what continent they're from. They're aimlessly walking around here with no direction at all. They don't have a clue what they want this day, they don't want the next day, and what satisfied them that day doesn't satisfy them this day. They're lost. They don't know any better. You know, I am proclaiming to you what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that God does not want anybody to perish and go to hell. God doesn't want anybody to go to that awful place. But guess what? The Bible said it right there. He's got the keys of death and hell. And I guess, in kind of maybe a funny way of putting it, is like, what door are you going to choose? You know, are you going to choose life or are you going to choose death? Are you going to choose the blood or are you going to choose hell? Okay? It's all up to you. God gave us all a free will and it's all up to us. But just like that verse said, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're willing to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're willing to repent of your sin and you're willing to allow the blood of Jesus Christ to pay the payment for your sin, and you call out from the bottom of your heart and you mean business with God, I am here to tell you that he will save you, okay? We love you and we thank you and see you next week. Thank you.